A long time ago, we didn't have millions of channels on TV. Who remembers when we only had 4 channels? Thank you, that makes me feel a whole lot better. I noticed there's some of you that did not raise your hands, so I'm just aware of that. But a long time ago, we only had 4 channels, and every year, you know, I think I've told you the Wizard of Oz would come on and we would watch that. But around Easter, the 10 Commandments would come on, you know, the big epic Cecil B. DeMille thing. And we would gather in the den to watch this big epic film. My favorite part of the movie was when Moses, played by young and handsome Charlton Heston, went to Mount Sinai to receive the word of God. And then a fearsome, fiery finger appeared out of the sky, and it carved out the 2 tablets inscribing the 10 rules for the Israelites below. Now, the special effects were mind-blowing in the 1950s, and even still in the 70s when I watched it, when we sat with our eyes wide open and our mouths open as the sparks of God burned into sheer rock. Moses shielded his eyes, but still as he presented the tablets to the people, he had changed, his hair had been turned stark white, and as I recall, it was rather big. My childhood takeaway was that looking at God, or even the special effecty fiery finger of God, could give you a weird hairdo, and I put that on my list of things not to do. So years later, when I saw Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, again, my suspicions were affirmed when the Ark of the Covenant, which contained God, they opened it up, and those that dared to look upon it burst into flame, or if you were an evil Nazi, your face melted. So my takeaway is, don't look at God. Something bad is going to happen, and yet today, our gospel is all about that. It's all about that. Our gospel passage begins again with the hide-wearing wild man prophet, John the Baptist. And he does so well. He points at Jesus, and today he says, "There he is, look at Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the guy I've been telling you about. I've seen him, and I can tell you that this is the Son of God right before your eyes." Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in a crowd and someone screams, "Look," everybody turns around. That's what we do because we're curious. We want to know. We want to see. John the Baptist certainly had a group of followers and seekers that he had amassed around him. But instead of him saying, "Look at me," he's saying, "I'm not the Messiah. But here he is, the Son of God, is right in front of your eyes." And 2 of his disciples, Andrew and Peter, literally did an about-face, and they started following Jesus. Jesus notices them behind him, and he says, "What are you guys looking for?" And he asks this because he knows that they're not just looking for something with their eyes, but they are looking and seeking with their hearts. Jesus invites them ahead to come and see. Jesus invites them to look with their eyes and their hearts to follow him into a relationship. John's gospel is interesting because it's so different from the other 3 gospels. It starts with this big, dramatic opening. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This dramatic opening declares that Jesus is God and has been God and is God on earth. This gospel doesn't mess around with angels and shepherds and a tiny baby in a manger. It just gets straight to the point. Jesus is God in the flesh. And John the Baptist is trying to show us this point. He would have done it with a laser pointer had he had one. But he says, this is the Son of God. And those that turned around to look at Jesus, I don't know, but I suspect that none of them burst into flames. Last Sunday, we considered Matthew's unique version of Jesus' baptism, in which God spoke audibly to the crowd so that everybody could hear, "This is my beloved Son." And this week's John the Baptist, he insists that we are to turn around to look up, because there he is. There is the fulfilled promise of God. This is the one who will take away the sin of the world. Not with guns and armies and tanks and planes, but as a lamb, as a sacrifice. And we are not to sit idly by and watch Jesus just walk on past. We too must come and see. We have to move. We have to act. And like John the Baptist, we are also to point the way for Christ. Last week, we also started considering what the season of Epiphany really means. That it's a season to give us the opportunity to discover anew what we've always been looking for. All the readings in Epiphany remind us that stopping with Christmas and a baby in a manger just doesn't give us the whole picture. To support the claim of God's incarnation, the Word made flesh, we need to see the kings come and adore Jesus. We need to see Jesus walk into the Jordan River to be baptized by John. We need to see the heavens open up and a dove fly down, and we need to hear the voice of God. We need to see Jesus turn around and ask his very first two disciples what they're looking for. And we need to hear what God has to teach us. Today we have so many things to look at, maybe too many things to look at. We maybe start our morning with the paper or computer screens or the news. Then we have traffic lights telling us where to go, billboards, yard signs, television commercials and movies, explosions, high-speed chases, colors, more explosions. I have teenagers, so, you know. This is what we're used to as consumers. I had to look this up, but I was shocked when I did. The average length of one shot in a movie, in an American movie, has declined from 12 seconds back in 1930 at the beginning of movies to about 2.5 seconds today. And this article that I read is a couple years old, but it's less than that now. Things move quick because it's keeping up with our short attention spans. And we love to consume faster and brighter and better special effects. The fiery finger of God would be laughed out of the theater today. It just wouldn't look as big and fast and bright as what we're used to. Yet with all of the quick, shiny things, we still have to find what we're looking for. Come and see, says Jesus. Come and see what relationship looks like. Come and see what servanthood looks like. Come and see what justice looks like. In these special few weeks after Epiphany, we should keep our eyes peeled to come and see God in our midst. Come and see that God doesn't just live behind a curtain or up on a mountain. God doesn't just turn our hair white when we look upon him, but God face can be seen in this world, and our brothers and sisters around us, with no side effect, no fiery screen effects. Jesus says to us, come and see with the own eyes of our hearts what our Lord wants us to see. That spark that lights in our own lives. Amen.